What's up, guys? Pastor John here. We pray that this message encourages you in your faith journey, and we believe that God has an incredible plan for your life, and our hope is that tools like this sermon will help you become who He has created you to be. Now listen, in order to truly flourish and thrive like God intends for your life, it takes community. What I mean by that is we don't believe that simply by attending church online alone that you're going to be able to become every bit of who God has created you to be and who you want to be. To grow spiritually, you need other people. And we would love to help you connect with other people right here at Greenhouse. True growth happens when we're rooted in a community that supports, uplifts, and walks alongside us. And so with that in mind, we would love for you to join us in person on Sundays right here at Western High School or in microchurches throughout the week. Listen, if you don't live near our church here in South Florida, please reach out to us. We would love to help you find and thrive in a local faith community near you. We're excited to partner with you as we all become passionate followers of Jesus. God bless you.
Go to Philippians chapter 4 if you would. By the way, where's JC? JC, where's JC at? JC isn't, is he in kids? JC's with the kids? Greater love has no man than that. Okay. Philippians chapter 4, are the Galloways in here? The Galloways right over here. Some of my favorite worship times I've ever had in my entire life was with this man leading worship over here. I just loved it. My favorite dance I've ever seen at someone's wedding reception was Ryan and Christina's dance. Do you remember this? I hope it's on video because I would love to see that almost as much as watching Jamie Lash do a Pokemon announcement. That is amazing. All right, Philippians chapter 4 is where we're gonna read. By the way, before I get into this, I was at the property yesterday. I got there. I felt like a little kid. This is you guys. This is y'all. And I was like, man, John, this is going to be so incredible. Like, what a provision from the Lord. What an easy yoke. What, like, I just felt God's peace. I just felt the opposite of striving and trying to, you know, whatever. So in the name of Jesus, I am praying that God is going to lead every single step of the way on that property. There will be extreme favor from the city because that is an amazing location right in the middle of downtown Fort Lauderdale. Jesus, we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, we're glad. Amen. All right. I do feel like I've got a very, very clear and strong word. I can't wait to bring this. Whew. Man, I'm happy to be here and bring this word. Philippians chapter 4, if you would just take it in a series that is called Rhythm and Blues. And the idea of this series is that Jesus has rhythms that will dispel your blues. There are rhythms, and I'm going to talk about one of these rhythms. So if you would stand to your feet, I know you sat down, but stand to your feet, Philippians 4, just trying to be a little liturgical. Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 1, actually, it says, therefore, my brothers, and I would add sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. Just notice how he's speaking to these people. He says, I love you, I long for you, my joy and crown, my beloved. That's very much how I feel this morning when I'm here. Like, there is no having to put on anything to be like, oh, let me kind of just get up and do a professional talk. Like, it was a joy to pray before service with some of the team. It's a joy to be in here. It's a joy to see some of you that I've seen through the years. Just a joy, just such a joy. I entreat Yodia and Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you, true companion, help these women. We don't know what's going on. He's like, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. And now we get to the part that's kind of predictable, and I think we know this verse really well. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness or your gentleness be known to everyone, because the Lord is at hand. And here's maybe the pain point that we're going to, you know, lean into a little bit. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I want to talk about peace and joy. I want to talk about peace and joy specifically in this context of anxiety. And in a world where there's bombs that are dropping and there's tariffs that are raising and there are families that are crumbling and there's marriages that are on the rocks and there are mindsets that are struggling in the midst of so much anxiety and there's so many, I'm going to just say it, there are very real things to be anxious about. But in the midst of that, we find here in Philippians chapter 4 some keys that Paul gives us to this church that he loved, specifically about peace and joy. And I want to talk about how to find the rhythm of peace and joy. And if we could find this rhythm, it's going to dispel some of our blues. Let's pray. God help. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and have a seat. So, many of you know I've got 8 children, and we've been extremely fruitful as we know how to be. And my youngest daughter is named Anaya. And I remember we had a church service a little while back where people were lingering for prayer after service. You know how that kind of goes. You know, but you got that, there's like that in-between time of the people that are doing the service, they sort of want to leave, you know, like, you know, by the way, you got Pastor Virgil in here right now. So God bless you, Pastor. Good. Thank you for being here today. Love it. We did a wedding together, and anyway, that was just wonderful, although they're not here right now. They're not here today. Nate texted me, said, hey, I'm not here. We did Nate's wedding and Nate and Alty's wedding. But you know how it goes, where it's like the staff that have been there since like 6 o'clock in the morning, they're like, what's the balance between when do we leave? How long do you let people linger? So people are lingering up at the front, and they're lingering there, and there's, you know, kind of soft music, and it's getting softer and softer, but there's still people that are praying, and you're kind of like, what are we going to do? Well, one of my daughters, her name is Anaya, and she just means the Lord answers. She sort of feels great about the fact, she feels like she owns the church. Like, she knows every square inch of the church. She knows where all the stuff is. She knows where the snacks are. She knows where everything is. She especially knows the sound booth as well. And so we're getting that down, and the sound tech people had kind of left, and they're doing other things. They're tearing stuff down. And it had kind of gone down where the last song was there, and there was like a silence. And there was this no noise, but there were still people praying. There were still people crying. They're doing all this kind of thing. I'm out in the lobby at this point. We're like, hey, let them linger. If someone wants to encounter the Lord, let them encounter the Lord as long as they want to go, right? And all of a sudden, I'm out in the lobby doing that, and someone sees Anaya going, you know, going here, going there, going everywhere. And all of a sudden, you can hear the music in the lobby in Greenhouse and in Gainesville. And all of a sudden, we're out there, and there was kind of a lull, and there's music that had stopped, and there's quiet in the lobby. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you start to hear this drum beat. And all of a sudden it says, I like to move it, move it. I like to move it, move it. I like to move it, move it. I like to. And people are looking around and they're like, what is going on? And we're trying to, no one knew how to work the sound thing. And we go into the sanctuary and she runs out. She just runs out. And we're like, what did you do? She said, I felt like we needed a beat, you know? I felt like we needed a little something. And we're like, no one could even do the volume on this thing. So there's people up there praying and crying. And all of a sudden, and someone kind of like said, Pastor Mike, it's okay. I felt like we needed a little joy. Now, I want you to think about like the soundtrack of a movie that you like. And I want you to think about how sometimes, if you've ever watched one of these movies, the movie in many ways is made by the sound and the beat that you're having. I was at the gym watching a movie while I was on a treadmill. And I didn't have my headphones, so I couldn't hear. I heard the music bopping in the background, but it clearly didn't go with the movie, which was Gladiator. I think a lot of times what happens is we fail to understand that God didn't just make us to walk through scenes of life. He meant for the scenes of our life to have a soundtrack that they go with. When you're watching the movie, when you're feeling what's going on, there's a feel, there's a vibe, there's a beat, there's a rhythm that goes to it. And when the music doesn't match the movie scene, something goes wrong. Let me just say this a little bit differently. I think there's a lot of us that are in spots that are maybe stressed, or we're confused, or we're embittered, or we're feeling chaotic. And we believe the answer is we need to change the scene of our movie, when sometimes we need to change the soundtrack of our souls. See, there's something that God has for us that's that's better than living in a way where you're counting the minutes until 5 o'clock on a work day, or you're counting the days until Friday, or you're counting the weeks until your vacation, because God actually wants us to live in a way where we're not trying to escape from the life that he's given us. He wants us living in a way that we're like, wait, this is exactly what I want to be doing. Like, God, you've given me this life. In him is life, and the life is the light of men and women, that he gives us this life. And I think that, unfortunately, there's a lot of us that are trying to change the scenes of our life. If I just got a different job, if I just got a different spouse, if my kid would just get better, if that situation would improve. And a lot of times what God is saying is, I am going to, at times, change your scenes, but what I want to do is change your soundtrack so that even in the midst of whatever scene you've got a peace and a joy that abide, because when you've got peace and joy, you can kind of get through almost anything. It's an amazing reality. See, Jesus has a soundtrack. This soundtrack has rhythm, which is why he would say, take my yoke upon you, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's what he says. See, peace and joy, I would argue, are not optional features in your life. Peace and joy are essentials. They make or break a home. Peace and joy make or break a marriage. They make or break a parent-kid relationship. They make or break a microchurch. They make or break a mind. If you've got peace and joy, you're gonna find a way, you know. But a lot of us, unfortunately, we see peace and joy as these elusive things, and we see them as like, well, what I need to do is the key to life is escaping chaos. But I want to say to you today, the key to your peace and joy is not escaping chaos; it's something else. Because there are people that are in the middle of chaos and they've got peace and joy, and there are people that have everything going for them and they don't seem to have any of that peace and joy. And so I want to just bring you some truth from the book of Philippians today, and I want to do it in a way that maybe we haven't done it, because I've usually heard people take Philippians and they preach on anxiety. Hey, we're going to talk about anxiety today, and they'll do a good job of pointing out, you notice that it says that you've got to bring your request to God and do it with thanksgiving, and there's all this stuff on all the science on gratitude and, you know, mindfulness and being thankful, and you need to pray about it and all the different things. But Philippians 4 doesn't start in verse 6 and 7. It starts in verse 1. It says, therefore, which is a new section of this chapter. And he says, my brothers whom I love. Now, what I'm going to try to show you today is this. Peace and joy are not the result of escaping chaos. Peace and joy are not the result of changing scenes. Peace and joy are not the result of the situation getting better. Peace and joy are not that. Peace and joy are found by turning to others and God in the middle of it. Let me say it differently. This is the entire sermon. You can leave right when I say this if you want, but I'm going to try to explain this. Joy is relational connection. Peace is relational safety. And both are possible even when life is horrible, when you connect to God and other people. Joy is relational connection. Peace is relational safety. And both are totally possible when we connect with God and people. So let's talk about the joy. Joy is relational connection. So look at verse 1. This word starts. Before he says, don't be anxious about anything, which, by the way, I've heard many times Christians use that verse, don't be anxious about anything. If the Bible says don't do it, that means that's a command. This is a command. So if you're anxious, you're breaking a command. Are you struggling with anxiety right now? Oh, man, I stink. I'm terrible. What a bad Christian I am. And yet, I want you to see the flow that Paul brings. Because if you've ever heard this anxiety command as a condemnation point of Scripture, you're missing it. Because watch what he does. Because I'm trying to make this point clear. Joy is relational connection. Before he talks about their anxiety, look what he says to them. My brothers, whom I love, whom I long for, my joy, my crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. I want you to see how Paul is connecting. Because joy is relational connection. So I asked someone a few weeks ago, I said, hey man, where do you think you find joy? In fact, what if someone asked you that? Hey, where do you think you get joy? And he said, I think you get joy when you do the things that you enjoy. Like when you like, if you like pickleball, you're playing pickleball. You know, if you enjoy, you know, apple pie, you eat some apple pie. I'm like, no, those things are pleasure. That's pleasure. Now, pleasure is different than joy. See, what we think sometimes is that joy and pleasure are the same thing, but they're not. And so when we look at this, we kind of see joy is not pleasure. Joy is relational connection. Let me read you, because the realm of neuroscience is actually doing quite a bit to tell us how our brains affect our everyday stuff. Do you have that quote? Are you able to put that quote up on the screen for me? I might move out of the way so you can see this, but this is what one guy said. When our relational circuit is up and running, we are in an ideal state for joy and peace. This state of being our best is known as acting like ourselves. We act like ourselves when we say and do the things that align with our identity. We reflect who we're meant to be. More creative, relational, likable. The relational circuit comes on when we expect joy. Now, let me pause for a second. The relational circuits come on when we expect joy. Okay, church, if there's anywhere on planet Earth we should be expecting joy, it should be when we come to church. It should be when we're on the phone with each other. It should be when we show up in someone's house for a meal. It should be when believers are coming together. This is the place where joy is supposed to be found. We are supposed to be so full. See, it's not food that gives you pleasure. It's not sexual pleasure that gives you joy. That's why you could have more joy with a peanut butter jelly sandwich with a friend than a filet mignon by yourself. Some of you are like, I'll take the filet. Yeah, that's because your culture has actually taught you to search for pleasure instead of joy. See, joy is relational connection. Let me keep going here. Joy is this is neuroscience. According to neuroscience, joy is the glad to be togetherness where we light up to see others and they light up to see us. That's what joy is. It's like, Verge, it's you. Wait, what? Oh my gosh. That's right. He's like, hey man, we did this wedding. I'm like, yes. I love this guy. It's like, yes, there's a lighting up that when John Lash calls me, there's nothing in me that's like, ah. I mean, if you do that with John, like, man, you need to check yourself into something. I mean, it's just like, see what they, again, this is just, I'm talking neuroscience, I'll bring it back to the Bible, but they say it's the glad to be togetherness. Neuroscientists tell us that people are glad, when they are glad to be with you and you know it, there are parts of your brain that get activated that do not get activated any other way. This is why, by the way, when you read Bible verses like where Paul says, greet the brothers with a holy kiss. You ever heard that verse? Now, again, we got a lot of Hispanics in the room, so they say Spanish, like, amen, amen. Vamos a obedecer. You know, we're obeying all the time. All the Hispanics are like, yeah, that's why we kiss each other. I know. But I think we kind of missed the point, though, because I've heard the debates about, like, well, do you have to take the Bible literally? Did it literally mean greet the brothers? It's always funny when I talk to someone that says, I take the entire Bible seriously. I'm like, you've never kissed me. And they're like, well, you got to contextualize it, man. I'm like, oh, now you're getting, by the way, I agree with that. Because I do think there's something to that, which is, but here's the catch. In all the debates about, we don't need to literally obey the Bible when it says, greet the brothers and sisters with a holy kiss. I agree. And by the way, evangelicals are really, you know, even if we tried to, I mean, we have a hard enough hugging. I mean, have you ever seen evangelical people hug each other? Like, we're so worried, like, hello. You know, it's like, but see, what we know happens is that when someone's glad to be with you, and this is why if we could ever get over our lust and objectification of each other, we could really get to places where people's brains could light up and we could show the world how God wanted us to be. But I've heard all the arguments about why we don't need to, okay, forget the greeting with the holy kiss. I think the principle here is even, could we greet each other? Like, could we let someone know, like, oh my gosh, bro, good to see you. Like, could we reflect? We want to be on earth as it is in heaven. Let me tell you how it is in heaven. Your Father loves to be with you. When you come to pray to Him, our Father in heaven, maybe it feels like duty to you. It's delight to Him. Do you understand that He lights up? When you draw near, I mean, that's why the Bible says draw near to God. What's He going to do? He's going to draw near to you. He lights up. Let's just make on earth as it is in heaven just a little bit lower bar here for a minute. Could we just light up for each other? I mean, when we're done, when we dismiss, can we be the kind of people that we actually, I don't care if you're kissing or not, could we at least greet? Hey, turn to the person next to you right now and give them a holy kiss. I'm just joking. You don't have to. But you can. All right, I haven't even finished. But let me finish this quote. Let me finish my quote. This is going to be a long sermon if I'm not careful. I'm in the middle of a quote right now. The presence of joy is the turbo booster, while the absence of joy leaves us in fumes. Once we have enough face-to-face joy, we're ready for a pause or a breather that allows rest so that we can build more joy. A rhythm. Now, this is neuroscience. A rhythm develops. What we know about babies is that babies laugh and their brains light up. And that's why moms and even dads that are like boring and dull men, all of a sudden, oh, my little pumpkin bumpkin. Oh, and you're like, where did that man come from right now? And the answer is there's something intuitively in us that knows that a child needs to feel the glad to be togetherness, because when a child does this, there's attachment goodness, there's attachment stuff that happens, parts of their brain light up. But if you've ever done it, and if you've ever tried to get a baby to keep doing it indefinitely, they eventually stop, because what they know is they need a break. Scientists tell us it's a rhythm, and when they get rest, that rhythm is called peace. There is a brain rhythm of peace and joy. You need peace that gives you strength, and peace that gives you excitement and peace. And then you need a rest. Then you need a peace. Then you need a safety. Then you need a, like, hey, mom and dad, I'm happy to be with you, but don't make me keep doing it. Don't make me have to perform in front of abuela and titi and tio. Don't make me, like, I'm not a toy. Can you give me some rest as well? In other words, I'm down with all the joy, but can I also have a rhythm of rest? Because when there's peace and there's joy, that is a rhythm that will dispel your blues. Verse 1, Paul's starting with this. That's why I want you to, I want you to just see the context of this passage. We're going to get to talking about anxiety and how to get rid of it. But look what he does first in verse 2. I entreat these two ladies, Euodia and Syntyche, to agree in the Lord. Apparently, there was this fight between two women in the church. And look what he says. Yes, I ask you, true companion, help these women who've labored side by side with me in the gospel, with these other fellow workers. Their names are in the book of life. Like, in other words, what he's saying is there is an obstruction to peace and joy right now, because joy is relational connection. Joy is relational connection. Syntyche and Euodia, they're not connected, which means there's going to be a violation of joy. You can't do joy when there is not connection. So what we do is, lacking connection, we turn to other sources. So many of our addictions and so many of our patterns are really the issue of looking for pleasure where we were made to find joy. And in the absence of our joy, and by the way, joy is relational connection, we will disconnect from people. Proverbs says, a man who isolates himself seeks his own desire, and you've got people going off and having all sorts of porn fest, alcohol fest, drug fest, self-medicating themselves, scrolling fest, sitting there for hours on a couch all by themselves with other people in the room, or sitting at a table on a date night scrolling for themselves, looking for something that they're not getting, because joy is relational connection. If I were the devil, I'd get you so addicted to this that you do not connect with people. But notice what he says. He's like, hey, man, Euodia and Syntyche, I need you guys to agree in the Lord. And note, he's not, see, a lot of us are waiting for someone to take sides. He's like, don't you get it? One of you could be right and one of you could be wrong, but you could end up being right and you'll still be unconnected, disconnected, and you won't find joy. Because joy doesn't come, yeah, man, I told them. I showed them. Slam, burn, loser. Like, that's not where you get your joy. Joy is relational connection. And can I, by the way, church, can I just say this? Sometimes we need help connecting with each other. Whoever he's writing to, he's like, hey, man, I entreat you. Can you help these ladies? Can you help them reconcile? Man, we're in a cultural moment right now. We are experts at dividing. We are idiots at reconciling. And I get it, because if I were the devil, last thing I want is for y'all to be reconciled, for y'all to be, because joy is actually relational connection, which is why all I got to get you to do, and it's so sneaky, because it's like, there is right, and there is wrong, and there are things that are wicked, and there's things that are evil, and there's people I cannot be connected to. But he's like, come on, guys, Yodia and Syntyche, these are my ladies. They labored in the Lord. Their names are in the book of life. And imagine your name is in the book of life. It is possible to be a great, amazing disciple and Christian, and you're not connected with other people. And Satan loves it because you cannot have joy without connection, because joy is relational. Let's just kind of keep going here, because see, he tells them this. I need you doing this. Help these women. Help these women. And now he comes to verse 4. He says, rejoice in the Lord. I just want to point out, he's going to deal with the anxiety. And he's going to talk about, man, how do you get rid of your anxiety? And we would say things like, man, you got to connect with God. Man, are you anxious? And whenever I hear people anxious, anxiety brings up the churchiest answers that you could ever find in religious circles. Are you anxious? And here's what people say. Have you prayed about it? Because that's what it says. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. I just want to point out, this is what I'll hear people say. Bro, I just want to say, I'm just going to say what the Bible says. All I'm doing, are you anxious? Man, you need to go pray. Are you still anxious? You need to pray more. Are you still anxious? You need to pray and fast. Are you still anxious? You need to pray and fast. And you need to like watch Upper Room worship for 4 straight hours. I just want to point out the very obvious thing. Before he ever says to pray, he first says to connect. Before he tells you to connect vertically, he tells you to correct horizontally. It's almost like Paul believed Jesus when Jesus said, the greatest command is to love God, but also to love each other. And more, I think, importantly, perhaps, before he deals with the anxiety at some vertical level, he's going totally horizontal first. So now he finally says, rejoice in the Lord. Now he's talking about, okay, joy is relational connection. I want you to connect with him. That's why even this morning in worship, I was enjoying the worship. And if you've ever been in a moment of worship and you connect with him and you're like, man, how do I have this? You could even be crying and someone's like, what's the matter with you? Are you sad? You're like, no, I'm so joyful. Yeah, but you're crying. I know, but I feel all this joy. Why? Because he and me are connected right now. Because joy is relational connection. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known. Now, he goes from vertical back to horizontal. Let your reasonableness, or some versions say, let your gentleness be known to everybody. You don't need gentleness with God. God can handle your, you could have a little bit of crazy in you. God can handle that. It's not God that needs your reasonableness. It's the rest of us. The rest of us can't handle all the crazy, you know? That's why it's like, let your gentleness be known to everybody. It's like, but I feel so, Yodia could be looking at Syntyche, and she's like, Syntyche, even the very syllable sounds, who would name their child Syntyche? Well, you can't say Syntyche without Syntyche. And there, I don't know who it is that grates on your last nerve, and you're like, he's like, man, come on, let your gentleness. Culturally, I see no value, I see no virtue of gentleness in our culture right now. And yet if you want to, and here's the catch, you can be right, disconnected, and you'll have no joy. Or you can be reasonable and gentle, let your reasonableness, he says, the Lord is at hand. Now he says, do not be anxious about anything. You know, by the way, the Lord is at hand. He's like, why do I need to be gentle? Because the Lord is at hand. In other words, you're mindful. He's doing constant vertical, horizontal, vertical, horizontal, vertical, horizontal. The Lord is, in light of the fact that the Lord is at hand, now he says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And now he says, and the peace of God which passes understanding will guard your hearts and minds. Number one, joy is relational connection. Number two, peace is relational safety. I've got these 8 kids, and I remember a while back we were going somewhere, and the car is packed with children, and it's raining between Gainesville and we were going to Orlando, and it's just, you ever seen where it's just like pouring down and people stop underneath some of the overpasses because you can barely see? I was like white-knuckled nervous about this thing. You know, I'm kind of driving, and I'm like this, and I look back, and I see like five of my children passed out asleep. In my mind, I'm like, bro, why am I the only one that is stressing right now? Like, our lives are in danger right now. And yet when I look back at my kids, I realized My kids felt like if daddy's driving the car, we are completely safe. How are you sleeping in the middle of a crazy storm? And the answer is because they felt safe. See, joy is relational connection. At least the neuroscience says this, and I would argue biblically as well. Peace is relational safety. By the way, this is what the neuroscientists would tell us, is that your brain finds this place where you get around people. They're glad to be with you, but you can only have peace when you feel relationally safe with them. If they're about to go process all of their whatever, you know, about you, like if you're not relationally safe around them, you may even have joy, but you cannot have peace. But the key to life is having peace and joy. One of the keys to a great marriage is when there's lots of joy and there's lots of peace. In our house, like we have named our home, The Lord is Here. The name of the Pat's house is The Lord is Here. The last verse of the book of Ezekiel says, there's a city and the city is called The Lord is There. I was like, man, if there's a city called The Lord is There, we're going to call our house The Lord is Here. So our kids know The Lord is Here. And we've told them in the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. And in the presence of the Lord, there is relational safety. Our kids know the vision of our house is to have peace and joy. So we ask on a very regular basis, hey, what are we doing? Moms and dads and brothers and sisters and roommates, it's a great question. What are the joy levels like in the house right now? And if someone's like, God, it hasn't been very joyful. What's been helpful for me in reading scripture and looking at the neuroscience has been when the joy levels are low, that lets you know what's kind of low as well. Connection. Or if someone's like, man, I just don't feel the peace. We're not feeling the peace. When there is no peace, why is there no peace? There's a lack of relational safety. Because joy is relational connection. Peace is relational safety. And both are totally possible. Even when the water's slamming down on your car, if you're connected to God and others. See, joy is relational connection and peace is relational safety. Both are totally possible. Even if you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, if you will reach out and connect to God and others. And by the way, this is kind of where this ends, where it says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds. That what that means is you'll be in the middle of a storm and someone's going to be like, bro, you got all this peace. I don't understand. You're like, exactly. What I have is the kind of peace you don't understand. See, what a lot of us have done is we've had peace that's been dependent on the circumstance of the moment. We've had a peace that's been so understand. You see someone like, bro, you just won the lottery. It's like, man, you seem happy. Man, I don't understand. It's like, I know. Why would I be happy when I just got $1 million? We understand that. What we don't understand is when you don't have the money in the bank and the bills are about to come due and someone looks at you like, dude, are you freaking out? You're like, man, I'm just really not, because I'm relationally connected and I'm relationally safe. I know who's got the wheel to my car and I'm just waiting on him. And you're like, I don't understand that. Exactly. See, we need, a lot of times our trials are actually supposed to be the setups for the testimonies that show the world when you're connected with him, you are relationally safe because of him. And then the church has got to be the place that shows it's on earth as it is in heaven, that we say, when you come in, bro, I'm glad to be with you. Sis, I'm glad to be with you. Like Christina Galloway texted me this morning. I was glad to see her text. I was glad to see Jamie Lash. I was like, oh, I was genuine. Like, it wasn't fake. By the way, it doesn't work when it's fake. You can't fake it. What do you do if you can't stand someone? Man, you got to go talk to the Lord about that, you know. Because you can't fake him. Like, I'm so glad to be with you. I mean, I think they're going to sniff it out. But Philippians 4 actually gives us the relational circuits that turn the switch back on. Like, how do we even apply this maybe this week? When you're done today, go greet each other. Are there people that you love in this life? Go let them know that. The Bible says open rebuke is better than love concealed. If you love someone, if you're glad that someone's in your life, we need to do a little better job of letting people know. It's your job to go light up the circuits of their brain, at least to the best of your ability. See, even a lot of our sin struggles are the result of our weakness, but the joy of the Lord is your strength. And so we're looking, man, I want that joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And we think joy is a feeling. No, joy is connection. It's connection to God and connection to people. If you're lacking joy, you're lacking connection. Guarantee it. But then the next question is, are you giving people and are you bringing safety? My daughter, Anaya, she had bothered some of her siblings a few months ago, and I had just, we watch a, I'm embarrassed to say this, maybe not. We watch a podcast, The Diary of a CEO. We watch it together. She, for some reason, she likes watching this with me. My youngest child watches this business person podcast. Anyway, one of the things was talking about the effects that physical touch and hugs make. So it's a fact, if you hug someone, if you will embrace for at least 8 seconds, it does something to the chemistry in your brain. Like, every human actually does respond to, like, even if you're like, my love language is not physical touch. I know, but the neuroscience says even if it's not, it still does a little something, all right? So she was so mad, and she had done something, and I'm like, all right, listen, you got a choice. I'm either going to spank you or I'm going to hug you. You get to choose. She said, I don't want to hug. I'm like, then you want to say, okay, fine. I said, but we have to hug for 8 seconds. I said, the neuroscience, she's like, ah. She said, and so we hugged. So she counted, 1, 2, so we did an 8-second abrazo. We just sat there and hugged for 8 seconds. And then she looks back. She goes, it didn't work. And she just walks away. 30 minutes later, she comes back. She says, Dad, I lied. It did work. See, we need to be relationally connected, and we need to be relationally safe. Like, I want you to think about, what are the ways that you go into your family? What are the ways that you, some of this is like eye contact. You look at someone in the, look at people in the eyes, let them feel, they need to be able to see and feel the gladness of your presence. And this is when Paul says right here at the end, he says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, verse 8, whatever is honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Again, I've heard this preached, and I've heard people preach this and almost dissect it from the rest of the passage as if you'll ever do this disconnected. You're not going to, you won't do, someone's like, man, you gotta mind your mind, mind your thoughts. Amen. But if you don't connect with people and you don't connect with God, you will not have joy, which will not give you strength. You will not have safety, which will not give you peace. But Paul's going, now he says, now you're in the spot where your brain can do all of this. If there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And then watch this. What you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things and the God of peace. The God of peace. Mike, I can't do it. I know it feels like that, but you're not just connecting to Pastor John or Pastor Mike or Pastor Vert, you're connecting to the Prince of Peace, the God of Peace. And some of the, well, that's easy for Paul to say. Paul was an apostle. Does anybody know where Paul was writing this letter from? It's easy for Paul to talk about peace and joy. I bet his life was what? The dude is in a prison, which might have had human excrement going down where he could smell the smell of human waste, where he has been imprisoned unjustly, wickedly, and he's writing a letter about peace and joy to him. Oh, man. And he's imagine getting a letter from Paul from jail. Ladies, could y'all get along? I'd be like, amen. Okay. I know you're upset. I know you got a lot to. Paul, do you get me? Yeah. Paul's like, I get you, because I'm writing a letter. Because if you read this letter, you're like, this dude had peace and joy, which clearly was disconnected from his circumstance. And the question is, how does that happen? And the answer is, peace and joy are relational realities, and your circumstances cannot chain down. They cannot keep you from. They cannot stop your relationships. See, where I end this really is just to tell you that the gospel is our peace and joy itself. That some of you have been praying for like a new scene in your life. And what I'm here to tell you is you need to change the soundtrack of your soul. Some of you have been praying for that job to end. And some of you need to get a new job. But some of you need to get the right rhythm for the blues that are in your job right now. Because when you go to the next job, there's still going to be, you're still going to have to learn to take up the phone. Like on the way here, I was with Nancy and the kids. And Liam's like, hey, can we play this? And she just finally handed him the phone. He's like, he's pressing. Some of you got to learn to go ahead and take the phone and press the rhythms that dispel the blues. Some of us have to go and say, I'm going to change the soundtrack. I've been listening to the soundtrack of hell, and I'm going to put on the soundtrack of heaven. That's what I'm going to go and do. See, a lot of us were like, man, I need a trip to the, you don't need another beach. You need his presence. You don't need a new scenery. You need new circuitry in your brain. You need to let the soundtrack change. You need to let the beat start to move your soul. You need to let the peace of God guard your mind like a soldier guards his post. You need to let the joy of the Lord become your strength, not just your supplemental thing that helps along the way. But I don't think you'll do it unless you look to the one that makes it all doable. When I was a kid, there was maybe the defining soundtrack of my childhood was, because my dad left, and there was this old song that was like my parents' generation, and it was called The Cat's in the Cradle. And I don't know why my heart would get so moved whenever I read it. It's a song that talks about a dad that has a kid, but he doesn't have time for the kid. And so it says, the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon. When you know, little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you coming home, dad? I don't know when, but we'll get together then. And so he's a little boy and the dad doesn't have time. Then he starts growing up and the dad still doesn't have time. And then the dad never has time. And then he goes off to college. And then when he comes back, and then by the end of it, the dad is older and the son comes home. And the dad's like, hey, son, you got some time to spend? He's like, oh, dad, just so busy. We're just so busy. You know, it's like cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon. Little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you coming home, son? He's like, I don't know when, but we'll get together then. I always hated that song. Because I was wishing I'd be wanting to go out with a girl and talk to my dad and he's not there, and playing sports and he's not there. And oh, it was like it was the soundtrack. I mean, so 2 weeks ago I was preaching in Jacksonville, and this song came on in the hotel that I was at. And I'm getting ready to go preach, and I'm getting like choked up. I'm like, I hate this song so much. I don't know if you've ever had a song in your brain that even kind of triggers you. It's like the wrong soundtrack. And there's been points in my spiritual life where I've just felt like it's been difficult to see God as the God who never leaves you or forsakes you in a world with people that do. And there will be people that are going to let you down. Which is why it was so wild to me when I was reading this one verse. Because what I want to tell you today is this. The wild thing about Jesus is this. I was reading the very end of Zephaniah. It says, sing aloud, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He's cleared away. The King of Israel, the Lord your God, is in your midst. See, the message of the gospel is that Jesus goes, and the one thing that could keep us from connecting to God is our sin. But Jesus dealt with that on the cross. He took away the judgments. And that would be awesome, even just to have all of just so you know, because of the blood of Jesus Christ and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, you can have peace. And that would be awesome, but that's not where it ends. Because listen, it says, on that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear not, O Zion, don't be anxious. Let not your hands grow weak. This is talking joy language. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. And now watch this. You're in that car, and the rain's coming down, and you're freaking out. Do you know who's driving this car? And I was reading this that morning, and I'm like, man, the Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. Joy is that glad to be togetherness. There is some way in which Jesus, he's got a gladness for you. Like, I know there's a lot of us in the room, but he has a gladness. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. That's joy and peace. But that's not where it ends. He will exult over you with loud singing. I got up that morning and I'm like, oh, I hate this Cats in the Cradle song. And it was just so clear. That is not the soundtrack of your life. There's a soundtrack that I sing over you. Ma'am, there is a soundtrack that God sings over you. This is not like a preacher trick. I'm telling you, sir, there was a soundtrack that God had. There was a beat. There was a rhythm. There was a song. There was a gladness. There was a peace. I don't know what other songs have been sung over you. What other lyrics that you have heard? What other soundtracks have played in your mind? The Bible says, the Lord your God is in your midst. He's taken away your judgments. Yes, Jesus died on the cross to forgive my sins. He did, but not only does he take away your judgments, he's given you a new soundtrack. He's given you a new song. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Are you in touch with that? Have you connected with him to the point where you feel that glad to be togetherness? Because, man, I am glad to be with you, but Mike, there's nobody glad to be with me. No, there is someone, and his name is Jesus. There is someone who is glad to be with you. You walk near him and he lights up. He wants you. He desires you. He died. He's like, man, I'm gonna prove it. He's got a bloody cross and an empty tomb give you all the proof you'll ever need. The Lord your God is in your midst. He's even here right now. And so I do love you, and I hope that you will feel loved in this church. But let me tell you this right now. If you're here by chance and you've never connected, joy is relational connection with him. If you've never had the safety, peace is relational safety. If you've never had that happen, let me tell you, here's the catch. You need to draw near to him. You need to say yes to him. You need to, he's offered you. He's made the offer clear. He's opened his arms wide. He has said, listen, I've died for you. I've paid for you. I delight in you. I cherish you. I want you. I want relationship with you, but I'm going to respect you and I'm going to honor your choice. If you don't want me, I'm not going to force myself on you. He does not do that. But if you're here today and you're not 100% sure that you're in connection with him, that he is your king and Lord and leader and savior, in a minute I'm going to give you a chance to respond and say, Jesus, I want that connection. Jesus, I want you to have my life. I'm telling you, man, you want to turn to him. You want to run to him. You want to connect to him. You want to believe in him. You want to trust him. There is no one more glad to be with you, and there's no one safer to be with than Jesus. And so I want you to bow your heads for a minute. In 30 seconds, I'm going to count to three. And when I say three, if you're in this room and you would say, Pastor Mike, I don't think I've got that connection with Jesus. I'm not sure that I'm his. Or maybe I'm a sheep that's gone astray. If you're ready to connect or to reconnect to him, when I say three, I want you to shoot your hand in the air and connect with him and to get ready to put your faith in him, to call upon him, come into covenant with him. If that is you and you're not sure you want that, on the count of three, put your hand up. One, two, three. Put your hand up if that's you. Yes, 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 yes. And you just leave it up for about 5 seconds. You could put it right back down. And just even under your breath, just kind of say, Jesus, I want to connect with you. And you could put it down. I'm about to jump off this stage and just kind of kneel down here at the front. And if you are one of those that just raised your hand or you wish you would have, I want you to come and join me up here at the front. We're going to bow our knees. The Bible says one day every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus is the Lord. It's not our bowing that saves us. It was his bleeding that saves us. It's not our choosing him that saves us. It was him choosing us that saved us. But if you even feel the need to respond, it's because he chose you. So if that's you, if you're one of those that just raise your hand, I'm coming off the stage right now. Would you come join me right now? I'm just going to bow my physical knees right here. If you're not physically able, just come and stand. But if you're physically able, would you come and bow your knees? And even as you say, Jesus, you are Lord. Jesus, you are the Lord. Don't even be ashamed. You could just come and join me right here. And we're going to bow these knees and say, Jesus, you are the King. You are my leader. You are my forgiver. And I'm giving you all of my life. And you're about to connect. You're about to connect. This is called turning to him in faith. This is called trusting him with all of our heart. This is called leaning on him with all of our heart, not leaning on our own understanding and all of our ways acknowledging him. But the Bible says that with the mouth we confess and with the heart we believe. There's no one that's ever loved you better than Jesus loved you on the cross. There's no one that's more glad to be with you than Jesus is even right now, right this very second. If there's anyone else that you need to be here, I'm just going to wait about 20 more seconds. If you need to be here, you are welcome. You are welcome. You are welcome. The Bible says to call upon the Lord. The Bible says to trust him, to believe on him, and times of refreshing will come. The wages of sin is death. Our sin, it disconnects us from us, but the gift of God is eternal life. Selfishness doesn't work, and all the pleasures that we thought we want, like, oh, the best way is his way. So all of us that are up here at the front, and everybody in the house can pray this. There's maybe too many to have just the prayer team come up, but all of us that are bowed down here at the front, and everyone can say this, let's do it with our lips. Say this, say, King Jesus, you're the Lord. You love me more than I love myself, but I trust you today. I receive your love today. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for choosing me. Thank you for singing over me. I pledge my allegiance to you. I give you all of my heart, all of my life, and I call you my leader and forgiver. I turn from my sins, and I turn to you. I want your joy. You are my peace. So I'm yours forever. Now just let that sink in and take about 20 seconds just to kind of maybe under your breath, if you mean that, just say, Lord, I really mean that. And if we've got a prayer team, I'd like a prayer team to come up here to just have everyone be able to have some sort of a hand on their shoulder before they go. I want the prayer team just going and praying a blessing on everyone, whatever's happening right now in their hearts. And if you love Jesus and you're out here in the audience right now, in the name of the Lord, would you just pray that even right now there would be a real connection that takes place, that people would experience the peace and joy of God. Oh, he loves you, he loves you, he loves you. Let the joy of salvation come down right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And for everybody else that's out here in the audience right now, before you even stand up, would you just ask the Lord, Father, help me, Padre, ayúdame, help me to encounter your peace and joy. I pray that anyone that's had layers of pain that have been keeping you from connection, that there would be healing that takes place even today, and that peace of God's going to come back. In the strong name of Jesus. In the strong name of Jesus. Now, Father, I ask you to bless your children. If you are one of those that are out there in the audience, if you could use just a special blessing from God, would you just lift two hands in a posture of receiving? And I want to pray right now, Father, may the peace and joy of Jesus, the King, the God of peace, come upon every one of your children that is open and ready and receptive. And I pray for renewed levels of connection and renewed levels of safety in your presence. I ask you even today that there would be conversations that take place in homes and around tables that are so full of heaven. May it be on earth as it is in heaven in the lives of these, your children, in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor John.
Amen. Hey, we're just going to leave this as a space as God begins to work. And if you're up here at the front praying, we'd love to connect with you and give you some next steps for what it looks like to walk out your faith in Jesus. Church, I pray the Lord would bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you, give you his shalom. Shalom is perfect peace. If you'd like prayer, you're welcome to come forward as well. Otherwise, if you want to talk and hang, do so outside. We're going to keep this space here as we honor what God's up to in this space. Love you, church.